We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to begin today's show from the MGM Grand in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, talking about great moments. Great moments. The birth of a child.
Oh.
Marrying the man or woman you love, the promotion at the job or career you've always destined to achieve, and showing up on time for your responsibilities when in the great city of Las Vegas. I look around, Dan Dibley's here, Lorenzo Neal is here, Cody's here, Derek Pop is here. Everyone is here on time and organized in Sin City. I'm completely stunned.
It's an
completely
upset.
Stunned, boys.
It's an upset. Vegas had that at plus 275. The odds were very long that all five of us would be here. And even more shocking, the fact that you were the last to arrive.
The last one. I had the odds set at Dan Dibley, huge favorite to be on time. I had a minus 250.
I'm an
Dibley's
old man.
A professional. He got in later last night. I figured it'd be no problem. Lorenzo Neal. I had it as an upset, you being on time, quite frankly. I had it as an upset. You met Frank Mir, MMA fighter, UFC fighter on the flight yesterday. I thought maybe you guys are boys now. Maybe you'd end up going out. But you're here. You're looking good. You're looking lean. You get your running?
No, Joe, I did not get to running. But what I did do, I got up this morning. I walked for 40 minutes. Walked around a casino. Kept walking laps laps.
That's called gambling. That's not exercise.
I didn't gamble. Didn't gamble at all. And you, Joe, being the astute individual that you are, you said, you know what? I didn't want to be distracted by all the casino and all the noise and all the things around. So Joe prepared to show and got in, you know, in his room and took very copious notes because that's who he is.
Copious.
Yes. I can't help it, Joe, if your brain was just too corpus for my demented imagination to comprehend.
I'll tell you what. I told you I was up there taking notes. I was really just delaying the inevitable, which is having to look at you guys this early in the morning here in Las Vegas. I'm kidding. Good morning to all. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi,
special
Kenny.
Program, Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev, Saturday night HBO pay-per-view at T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas. We are at the MGM Grand, and we are absolutely loaded today. Bob Soucy, play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots, coming up in 28 minutes at 6:30. Sean Salisbury at 8:05, Marcus Thompson at 9:30, and some Bruno Mars tickets at 8:45. But as we like to ease you into the program each and every day, here comes your update.
And let's start with the NBA. Joe, the Warriors go for a sixth consecutive game, game two of the Warriors road trip, looking for a sixth consecutive victory. They're in Boston. They sit 9-2 after the win in Toronto. Kevin Durant against one of the teams that coveted him in the offseason. Our coverage starts at 3:30. Heading to Boston, Joe. A pretty good Celtics team. Maybe a letdown spot for Golden State.
I'll tell you what, it's a revenge spot for Golden State. The last time these two teams played one another, April 1st, Roracle, last year, first and one of only two defeats the Warriors suffered at home last season. Boston hasn't been as rock solid as anticipated early in the year. Expect their A game tonight. This is going to be a big one.
Story number two, it's week 11 in the NFL, and it's underway. Carolina getting what is known as a Pyrrhic victory, a victory more costly than the rewards otherwise would be. 23-20 over New Orleans. Jonathan Stewart found pay dirt.
New Orleans run defense doing a good job tonight. Can they hold them off here on the second goal? And this time he dives in. Stewart for the touchdown. That's his fifth rushing touchdown of the season. Hands the ball to one of the kids. And the Panthers take the lead.
Good news for the Panthers, they win, but bad news, low. Luke Kuechly, concussion and a major leg injury.
Yeah, for those people who don't know who Luke is, people might not know, but how about this? This is an analogy. Take Patrick Willis off the San Francisco 49ers. How would they be? Take Ray Lewis off that Baltimore Ravens team. How would they be? This guy is their emotional leader, gets guys lined up. You can't replace a guy like Luke Kuechly. What he brought to the team is just unbelievable, and too bad this guy got injured.
Tell you what, let's put a silver lining on it. No Luke Kuechly against the Raiders next week? I'll take it. Hey, it's a vicious game. We're not going to celebrate injuries, but it's an advantage for the Raiders.
Very emotional moment as Kuechly came off the field. Story number three, Sharks dropped their second straight on this road trip, falling 3-2 in St. Louis. The update brought to you by Orchard Supply Hardware. At Orchard Supply Hardware, we'll help you discover your can-do spirit with helpful know-how for all of your paint, repair, and backyard projects. Dibs. Orchard Supply Hardware, home improvement improved. I'm Dan Dibley. On your new home of the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game, Joe.
Let me tell you something. You two are dropping a lot of fancy vocab words so far this morning. And since I don't know what they mean, I'm going to take them as a sign of disrespect. Watch your mouth and help me with the sale. Anyone know what that's from? 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, it's nice.
Kevin Hart scene. Nice. It's a great scene in the movie. Yeah. All right, let's set the stage here. We are in Las Vegas, MGM Grand. We're in one of the ballrooms right by the MGM Grand Garden Arena. That's where the big events used to be held for the most part, the big fights. But MGM built the T-Mobile Arena, which opened about a year ago. And Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev will be fighting there Saturday night. Now, if you've been to Vegas and you know where the MGM Grand is, go across Las Vegas Boulevard to New York, New York, Monte Carlo. T-Mobile Arena is located directly behind that.
Oh.
That's a little bit setting the stage. We've got about four or five other radio shows in here this morning, grinding early, but it's going to fill up throughout the day. We're used to this from the Super Bowl, but we will dive into the fight dynamics and a little more Vegas, Vegas speak, so to speak, later in the show. But we begin with the Oakland Raiders. Monday night, Mexico City against the Houston Texans. And you've got to figure that with this narrative starting to emerge, this is that coming out party game for Derek Carr. Now, most people might say, Hornball, what are you talking about? He's been playing big all year. He was huge Sunday night against Denver. He was. This is Monday night. This is Thanksgiving week. And this is against the team that passed on you not once, but twice in the NFL draft a few years back. They took Jadeveon Clowney. And then in the second round, they took an offensive lineman. Two shots at Carr. Now, some might think they kicked the tires on Carr, but they decided to go in a different direction. No. Derek says they never even reached out. They never even reached out to see if he might be their guy of the future. And here's the Raiders with Derek Carr in his third year thinking contract extension. And on the other hand, we have the Houston Texans. $70 million in the Brock Osweiler, which, Dibs, you had an amazing stat about this team the other day.
Yes.
Do you still remember it? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yes, I believe. Thank you, Lowe, for your faith, your faith in your humanity. I believe it still holds today. They're averaging more yards per rush than they are per passing attempt.
Think about that.
Mind-boggling. Wow. Both are about 4.5, 4.6. Good quarterbacks average, what, about 8 yards per pass attempt?
You'd like to be right around 7.5. That would put you above average. If you're up around 8, you're in great shape. If you're under 7 in yards per attempt, you're doing a lot of checkdowns and you're not completing a lot of passes.
Check down Charlie. I tell you what, Joe. You talk about them passing over the young Carr. This game here is a little bit more than that to me. It's about, you know what, you got your older brother, and I came up to him, Joe, and boom, I hit him in the mouth. You know what? You see me coming around the corner, you know what you're going to do? You and your younger brother are going to get it back, and bam, you're going to pop me over the head. You know what they did? They drafted his older brother, Derek, that is, brought him in, and what they do to David, they drafted him, didn't give him any weapons, ran him out during their out of the league. First early pick in the draft, you see how they destroyed his career. This is personal. This is a family thing. I think this young Carr, like you're talking about, not just skipping over him, they didn't even pick up the phone. They did that to his brother. Look for this guy, you're right, Joe, to be fired up, some emotions. This is a little family revenge, too.
Why are you moving around so much?
Because I got fired up.
Look at this guy.
I got
fired
up, bro.
You're
going to
tip the stage over with all this movement. I love it. I love the excitement, but pace yourself, son.
It's 4 hours. That's a good analogy.
It's a four-hour program.
Some would say he's showing passion and energy right now.
He's got it. You're right, though. You've got the personal slight. You've got the family slight. I mean, you're right. David's career was ruined because why? They never gave him – forget about the weapons.
Absolutely.
They couldn't protect the guy. His first year, what was he sacked? 65 times?
Or more. Most in history.
His back.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got that storyline as well. It's going to be a compelling game Monday evening. No J.J. Watt. You can kick around the conversation of whether or not he's even going to be able to make it back onto the field at any point in the future. And I'm not talking this season. I'm talking about ever. Ted Johnson, former Patriot linebacker who's now doing radio in Houston, joined us yesterday. He talked about how are you guys going to say that? JJ's going to be coming back. Let me tell you something. Two surgeries on your back,
yeah,
and in the exact same location, it's not good. You can sweep that under the rug all you want, but eventually, even if Watt makes it back on the field, he's never going to be the same guy.
Well, and it's too bad because you're starting to see Jadeveon Clowney actually look like a legitimate factor.
And it only took about 10 years.
Well, 4 or 5, right, in all fairness.
His knee was jacked up. He was hurt.
Injured, and I think he had to kind of figure out about what it is to be a pro and the tempo and the physicality. But imagine Houston's defense if they had both of those big boys fired at the same time.
Niners, Patriots, Sunday afternoon. Tom Brady's coming to town. But there might be an interesting angle for the 49ers in this game. We're going to have that next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Football Fridays, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
A little Frank Sinatra, baby. You talk about classing up the joint. Can I say joint?
Yeah, you can.
You talk about classing up the joint with a little Luck Be a Lady. This featured on my shuffle right now, as a matter of fact, Joe.
Good morning. Welcome back to Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We are live from Radio Row at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. Frank Sinatra. Dibs dating himself a bit this morning in the pre-show meeting, talking to young Derek Papa and young Cody Elias, our producer, telling him about how they have to get down to the Stardust, or check out Imperial Palace.
All these hotels that have subsequently closed in the last couple weeks, you know?
So he looks at me and goes, Riviera, what about the Riviera?
Yeah.
They blew it up a couple months ago.
It's funny because I went to the Stardust with my then-girlfriend, now-wife, in like 1994. And famously, she got in the hot tub in a late-night session with her grandmother's watch and thought she had ruined it. And come to find out, that hotel just closed a couple months ago, right? Stardust.
The Stardust was like one of decades. The most legendary sports books of all time. The guys that worked there were some of the best in the business. They were pioneers. They were the first ones to set the lines for the NFL every week. So when the offshore sports books opened and other sports books around town would wait for that sports book to release their numbers. Why? Because then the professionals would bet into those numbers. You'd adjust them accordingly, and then Caesars and the other properties would go, okay, now that this number's a little more rock solid, we'll jump in and we'll go ahead and post it. The Stardust was willing to take risk. You don't see a lot of that in the sportsbook game anymore, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. San Francisco hosting the New England Patriots Sunday, kickoff 1:25 p.m. local. Tom Brady coming home to take on Colin Kaepernick, who looked good by some metrics last week at Arizona. Here's the key. New England's banged up. Rob Gronkowski, geez, what is going on today? Well, Vegas.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski not expected to play after taking the most vicious hit of the season last week. Last week from Earl Thomas. That's as clean a football hit as you're ever going to find. That is as good a football hit as you're going to find. That's as vicious a football hit as you're going to find. Low, with Gronk out of commission, expected to be out of commission for this game, how does the New England offense adjust if they're going to try to get past the Niners?
Well, I tell you, you look at the Niners, and the Niners right now, starting to play a little bit better. Gronkowski brings a lot of different elements to the game. Not only does he have deceptive speed, he can stretch the field. He's too physical for safeties, too fast for linebackers. He'll beat you at the jump ball. Sometimes he demands two guys on him. This is a huge blow. This is a guy that you can't replace. This team, I don't know, have Brady won a Super Bowl in a long time without Gronkowski. Even when he was hurt, when his ankle was hurt in the Super Bowl, you saw what happened against the Giants. He is that guy that can stretch the field. He's that guy that makes you can't sit back and cover two, because the middle of the field is huge, where he makes a lot of pay dirt. So I you know, does this change my perspective of the game from that 14-point spread? Absolutely. I don't think there is a dominant team without Rob Gronkowski, without a doubt.
13-point line on the road. Laying 13 on the road should never happen in the National Football League. College, sure, but not on the road in the pros. Here's something you want to keep an eye on, and this is where the angle comes into play of the Niners having a chance to win this game. People might think I'm crazy, but there was a long time from the late 90s into the 2000s, the aughts, as they call them, maybe around 2008, 2009, when the Pittsburgh Steelers were widely considered what? The most physical team in football, best defense in football.
Absolutely.
I don't have the number in front of me, but there was a tremendous stat that when you played the Steelers, how awful you were the following week. How often teams lost the following week. Whether or not they beat the Steelers, if you had to play the following week, you would go out there and lose, I want to say 65-70% of the time. Huge number. Because it was such a physical game. It took such a physical toll on you that the following week, you just didn't have it. That's what Seattle's become the last 5 years. Seattle's defense has become that team that you're going to play them, and then 6-7 days later, you're going to try to turn around, play a football game, and you're just not going to have it all. Case in point, Gronkowski.
Sure.
But all the guys who are going to make it onto that field, they're not going to be 100%. The Niners will have an opportunity to capitalize on that element. The fact that New England's got to come all the way across the country, which they don't have to do very often. The home field advantage, the time zone difference. This is a nice spot. All things considered, if you have to play the Patriots, a nice spot, Dibs.
And a nice spot for the 49ers, in essence, then, if you're able to take those numbers or do what you like to do and tease that baby up to almost three touchdowns, because you figure without Gronk, Martellus Bennett, good tight end, but the offense not as explosive. the physicality from playing Seattle and the travel, this might be one of those games it's nip and tuck that the Patriots have to end up winning late. Now, can you envision a scenario where the 49ers win this outright? That's a little bit of a bolder play, I think.
It is. Colin Kaepernick, how should he fare against this defense? Russell Wilson in a tough spot, short week because he played on Monday night against Buffalo, crumbing across the country to play a non-conference opponent, so you're not very familiar with him. It's a primetime game. The Patriots are off the bye. Wilson's banged up offensive line. He tore him apart. He tore the Patriots apart. Now, I understand you want to get rid of Chandler Jones and you want to trade Jamie Collins because maybe they don't fit with what you're doing in the locker room or with your philosophy. Fine. Belichick is Belichick. His decisions, you can't question him because of all the success. But this defense is noticeably weaker. Colin, coming off a big game against Arizona, could we see more of that this week? Could this be a game where the Niners hang 30?
I don't know about 30, but they're going to score some points. When you look at New England can't get after the passer. Don't have a dominant pass rusher. When you watch just their whole team, their whole demeanor, they're a good team. I don't find them to be the front runner in the AFC. Yeah, they're a good team, and Brady's going to do what he does, and that's because he's a great and an elite player. But without a doubt, I really believe that Collins should have some success in this against this team. He'll throw for over 200 yards, 250 plus, because of the fact he's playing against a team that doesn't necessarily have a gaunted pass rush. He's going to have some time in the pocket. You got to respect his legs, so you got to slow rush him. You can't just pin your ears back because he can beat you with his feet just like Russell Wilson can. But right now, Collins probably even a little bit more effective because Russell Wilson's knee injury. So yeah, I expect him to have a good game.
Dibs, what do you anticipate from the crowd? Obviously, the attendance hasn't been where Jed York would like it this year, and for a lot of reasons, none of which are the fans' fault. But Brady coming back home, the San Mateo kid playing down there in Santa Clara, are you going to get a big influx of Patriot fans here? Is this going to be one of those 50-50 Charger-type games?
I wouldn't go 50-50, but 60-40 is definitely in the conversation. And I think a lot about A's games in the 90s, or even now when they draw 18,000-20,000. When Boston comes to town, here come all the Bostonites, all of you people, and I say you people because you're one of these East Coast interlopers who's come out for the good weather and the good living.
Don't associate me with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. They're Boston. I'm
it's
not.
It's you people, as I do my low kneel and point with my index finger. The East Coasters who come out, the Bostonites, they love to show up for their teams, Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox, plus the Brady factor. I think it's going to be not quite 50-50, but there will be a strong Patriot presence.
Speaking of the A's, 4 years, $52 million for Josh Reddick signs with the Houston Astros yesterday. The Astros have been busy. They traded for Yankee catcher Brian McCann as well, but now Reddick is headed to Houston to play with the Astros, so A's fans are going to get to see him quite a bit when he comes back to the Coliseum. Sadly, if the A's had been willing to give him a fourth year, they could have afforded this.
Right. But, the direction they're going is for younger guys, guys you've never heard of. Chris Davis holding it down out there. But other than that, it's a little bit of a revolving door in the outfield and the infield.
It's a new day and age. It's Trump's America, and the A's are going to be spending money. I don't know. It's like I woke up and I was taking crazy pills, Dips. It's like I'm taking crazy pills. All right, Bob Soucy, play-by-play voice, New England Patriots. He's coming up next. How banged up is this team, and what's the opportunity the Niners have in front of them this weekend? It's Joe, it's Lowe, it's Dibs. 95.7 The Game, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Now, back to Football Fridays, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Against all odds, every member of this team survived night one in Las Vegas. Welcome back, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs. 95.7 The Game. Bob Soucy, play-by-play voice of New England Patriots, coming up in just a moment. Gentlemen, one for one. Derek Papa, Cody Elias, our producers. They made it. Lorenzo Neal, looking great. Dibs, as professional as ever.
I appreciate that.
We're all here. We all made it.
I'm not giving you any of that one red eye that I've been known to give you when I've had long nights.
You look good. You look sharp.
Good.
Dibs. You look good.
Actually, Lowe's
you look good, too.
Shaved up. Dibs is all shaved. You look good, Dibs.
I appreciate it.
You look great.
I tried to starve myself just to make sure I could cut those last few pounds.
You did it.
I don't want to embarrass you by being the fat, heavy guy.
Warriors-Celtics conversation coming up in 14 minutes, 6:45. We got Bruno Mars tickets to give away at 8:45, but we head to the phones now. Bob Soucy, the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots, joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bob, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, and congratulations in order for you guys surviving the first night there.
We did. We got past the first night. No one is broke. No one was arrested. Everyone made it on time. Essentially, we're on house money the rest of the way out here. New England Patriots coming to town this weekend to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Big favorite in this game, but let's start with the big story from the injury report. Rob Gronkowski, is he going to be able to play this weekend after taking that shot from Earl Thomas last week?
Well, one of the things about Gronk is that we've gotten a lot of experience over the last few years speculating regarding his injury status. And generally with Gronk, the Patriots have been a bit more cautious. And he's had injury problems in the past, forearm, back, knee issues to deal with. And certainly in this case, you're talking about something that potentially, at least as first reported, was internal in terms of a punctured lung, which was the original report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, later contradicted somewhat by Adam Schefter. Either way, whether it's a chest bruise or a punctured lung, Gronk hasn't been on the practice field the last couple of days. And that's a pretty good indicator. Generally, if a guy doesn't practice, in the Patriots' case at least, the middle of the week, Wednesday, but especially when you start talking about Thursday when they really dig in their heels and get into the game plan, then he's unlikely to play. I wouldn't say that definitively because with this team you never know, but I think all the signals at least point in that direction.
Were you surprised that New England Patriots wasn't able to run the ball as effectively as they would like against Seattle? And what was the reason, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I think, you know, this team does run the ball a lot better, certainly.
Sure.
And that's you know, not saying a lot compared to late last year. Last year, the last final five games of the year after LeGarrette Blount was injured, the Patriots really did not have a running game whatsoever. And they failed to rush for 100 yards in their final five games last year, the first time that ever happened under Bill Belichick. And we've seen other teams have success of late running against the Seahawks. But, you know, I think in the Patriots' case, they weren't totally fully committed to it last week, but I also think you have to give Seattle a lot of credit. The Pats did produce the three touchdowns on the ground, albeit two of them were one-yard runs for LeGarrette Blount. But, you know, since Tom Brady's come back, they've been less reliant on the running game. They're still running a lot more than they did the last couple of years, but in part because of Brady's absence the first four games of the year. I think it's still important for them, and I think they do have to continue to run on first down periodically with Blount, maybe out of the gun a bit with James White, and especially if Deion Lewis has an increased role, just recently activated off the pup list for this team. Because we've seen, even with Brady out there, the effects of having a guy who can at least pick up 3-4 yards on first down, as Blount has done on a regular basis for this team, leading to the play-action passes. And the Pats have hit on more long balls this year, in particular off play-action. And I'm saying that thinking about one game specifically, and that was a few weeks ago, their win at Buffalo. But it was a bit surprising considering that the Seahawks had struggled so mightily against the run. I think they were allowing about an average of 135, 140 yards rushing per game over the previous three contests. But the Patriots really never sustained much of a running attack last Sunday night.
Defensively, the yardage numbers allowed are middle of the road, but the points, just 18.1 a game allowed. Is this because the Patriots have played a great bend-but-don't-break style defense?
Well, they played a bend-but-don't-break style of defense. Now, here locally on Sports Talk Radio, nobody's using the adjective great. I think fans are very frustrated by it, and I think it's been Bill Belichick's philosophy. You know, they're a game plan team, and they generally mix things up based on what the opponent does. And usually if you have a mobile quarterback facing the Patriots, you know, a team that in recent years has relied otherwise on principally man coverage, well, when they go up against a guy who has good legs, like even in their division, Ryan Tannehill, though he doesn't play necessarily in a zone read scheme, nonetheless, they're going to zone him and try to have more of a contain rush. They've done it in the past with guys like Ben Roethlisberger, for example, big mobile quarterbacks who can make those plays, those broken plays, unscripted throws. Well, we've seen them do that even more so of late with Tyrod Taylor and, of course, the other night against Russell Wilson. But even when they switched to man coverage, they had some issues. They're not getting any pressure on quarterbacks consistently, at least enough to cause turnovers, cause mistakes. And they've taken the ball away only a handful of times this year. And you look at the scoring average per game, and, you know, the Patriots have been among the league leaders, but you also have to factor in they pitched a shutout against a very inept Houston Texans offense early in the season. And some of the frustration is starting to surface because of the recent trade of Jamie Collins, who was really a playmaker in that defense, and also the early earlier trade this past spring of Chandler Jones. You know, last year, this is a team that had nearly 50 sacks. I think they finished with 49. And they've got a guy like Logan Ryan in the secondary who's had as many as 5 interceptions in a season. And this year he has none, and they're not getting to the quarterback on a regular basis. Malcolm Butler's been, you know, really the one guy they could count on at the back end of this defense. And in the front seven, with Collins now in Cleveland, is, you know, a mix of a group of experienced players, like Chris Long, for example, maybe, you know, not getting the kind of production out of him as they had hoped for, even though he's been healthy and I think has been a pretty solid player. Rob Ninkovich was suspended the first 4 games of the year. He's a guy who's made a lot of big plays for this defense in the past. And Dante Hightower is the one guy in that mix who still consistently can do some things in terms of getting to the quarterback or forcing some turnovers. He's forced a couple of safeties, for example. But they're just not making plays defensively, and that's been a source of frustration and a lot of questions here, especially the last week.
Bob Soucy, the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We see it every few years in the National Football League. It happened with Joe Montana and Steve Young, and it happened recently with Dak Prescott and Tony Romo. Now, I'm not of the impression that at any point there will be a quarterback who usurps Tom Brady due to performance, but is there any sort of scenario in New England that you can envision where Tom Brady doesn't leave the Patriots on his own terms, where perhaps at some point the team says, you know what, Brady's been great, but it's time to go with Garoppolo or someone else?
You know, it's interesting, Joe, because Tom's own father, Tom Sr., in a radio interview, I believe it was with the New York Times magazine last year, said that he didn't anticipate things would end well for Tom. And, you know, often that isn't the case. Guys in their late years, like Montana, move on to another team because the next guy is there and waiting. The thing that's so difficult right now, I think, for the Patriots is judging when that time is going to come. And frankly, you know, at the age of 39, Tom Brady, in certain facets of his game, is getting better. Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted in the second round 3 years ago, and when the Patriots took him, Bill Belichick said, "We all know Tom's age and contract status," and later went on to say, "Better to be early than late, especially with that particular position." And he even cited, for example, the Indianapolis Colts being unprepared for at least a year after Peyton Manning got hurt before they were able to draft Andrew Luck, and he didn't want to have a kind of scenario that Indianapolis had to face here in New England. Well, Brady, since that time, has earned a couple of contract extensions and has continued to play better. As I said, you know, most guys at his age, you know, they're thinking about holding on, it seems, and maintaining or at least compensating for or offsetting areas of their game that have diminished. In his case, he's become even more mobile within the pocket, but also a little bit out of the pocket, moving laterally, making some unscripted throws. This year, his deep ball accuracy has been a lot better than in recent seasons. So it's really difficult right now because Garoppolo, after next year, becomes a free agent for this team. And Jimmy had a game and a half of outstanding play this year, but maybe they still don't know exactly what they have in him, and they certainly don't really have a timetable yet for a guy who says he wants to play well into his mid-40s.
Bob Soucy, he's the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bob, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Good luck on the call this weekend. Hopefully we can catch up somewhere down the road.
All right, guys, good luck the rest of your weekend, too. Looking forward to getting out by the bay. Thanks a little much.
Oh, it's going to be a train wreck, Bob. It's going to be a train wreck.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Two things. Warriors, Celtics, that preview, along with why Tom Brady's biggest attribute could eventually be his downfall in New England. Those are coming up next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Football Fridays, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Tom's own father last year said that he didn't anticipate things would end well for Tom. And, you know, often that isn't the case. Guys in their late years, like Montana, move on to another team because the next guy is there and waiting.
That's Bob Soucy, the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots. We just spoke with him a few moments ago. In regards to this weekend's game, Niners hosting the Patriots. I'm Joe Fortenball. Next to me, Dan Dibley. Next to him, Lorenzo Neal. Next to him, our producer Cody. Next to him, our producer Derek. By the way, you too. This is not the buffet. That's just media food. So you go over, you have a little, and then you're done, and you share with the rest of the people here on Radio
Toad.
Row. This is not Bacchanal or the MGM buffet over there.
So a third trip before 7 a.m.
You look over and it's like, you're going to wrap this this breakfast up at any point? What? I'm hungry. Wrap it up. It's a radio show.
Tony.
Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. So, Lowe, 39 years old, Tom Brady. 39 years old, yet an MVP candidate. Some would say the front runner to win the MVP award this year, despite a four-game suspension. How? All right, I'm going to go ahead and address this before we get into the question. The
cowbell is ringing. Why are you hitting the bell every time I say something?
The cowbell here next door is a radio station out of what city? Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
That's next door. It's here on Radio Row, so we're going to have a lot of noise throughout the morning. But Tom Brady, the source of all his success at 39 years of age, how does he still do it?
His desire, Joe. And a lot of guys have desire in the will, but they don't put in proper preparation. They don't train. They don't do the things that Tom does. Tom is a diehard. He wants to defy Oz, and he wants to defy Mother Nature. He wants to defy Father Time, and he's doing it because of his diet, because of the offseason. He just goes right at it. You see the way that this guy, the way he eats, his cleanses, and all the different things that he does. He's constant.
Cleanses.
He does. No, him and
believe
it or not, his wife and the three sisters, they leave and go out of the country and do a cleanse where it's just for like a week. And I mean, they're really, really healthy people. So he understands what he has to do in order to continue to try to defy Father, defy Father Time. But the interesting thing is just he constantly worked, Joe, but it's a quarterback. If he was a defensive lineman or a receiver, we wouldn't be seeing this. He's throwing the ball. You think about it. Look at guys that you like, Roy Jones. Think about Bernard Hopkins, the George Foreman. They could always punch. He's always going to have a strong arm because he's going to make sure his core is strong. He's going to make sure that his leg, and he has to move and watch him in the pocket. He moves in and out of the pocket. It's not like he's sprinting. You don't need to. As long as he can keep his core strong and continue to work out on his upper body, he can play. He can play another 3 or 4 years because of the fact you look at quarterbacks, it's just the arm. You're always going to keep that arm strength. It's the legs that is the biggest thing that I don't think that a quarterback has to put that much time into because of the fact he's an older guy and he's not running a lot around. And
don't skip leg day, people.
And plus the offensive line he's been protected with, he hasn't sustained the kind of hits that would sideline him. I'm just looking at the list.
And he gets rid of the ball early.
Yes.
So those are things that's prolonged his career.
And you've got a short list of quarterbacks who've played over the age of 40. He'll be 40 next year in August. Just looking back, Lowe, Steve DeBerg, Warren Moon, Vinny Testaverde, they played until they were 44.
Testaverde's still playing. He's still playing somewhere.
Doug Flutie played until he was 43. Earl Morrill, of course. Mark Brunell played until he's 42. So we think about Brady being old, and he is relative
to
the NFL.
World. Sure.
But there have been quarterbacks. Brett Favre played until he was 41. There's guys who've played beyond 40 and had some success.
Brady's greatest strength, why he's better than everybody else, is that competitive nature. Everybody's competitive. He takes it to another level. This is a dude that, like Lowe said, I mean, he doesn't put a single hazardous thing in his body at any point through the year. He's a guy that this article, I believe it was on Sports Illustrated a couple years ago, he has a five-year plan, but not a five-year plan like us. Oh, I'd like to get to this point in my career and maybe have another child or maybe move into another house. His five-year plan is mapped out by the day. We're talking almost 2,000 days mapped out, what he's going to eat, what he's going to do, how he's going to train. Attention to detail. That is going to be his undoing. And what I mean by undoing is that is why he will not ride out on his own terms in New England. Because he's so competitive, because he's going to want to push the boundary, because he's not one of those guys that at some point is going to be like, you know what, I don't think I'm 100% in it. I'm going to go ahead and step away. He's going to push this thing until football says no to him. That's how I see that playing out. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. People get outraged by that concept. Tom Brady's going to get to do what he wants. You can't play until you're 50. At some point, it has to come to an end, and I think he's going to push it as long as he possibly can. But at some point in that process, New England's going to say, thank you for everything you've done. We love you. You're the greatest player in franchise history, and anything we can ever do for you, including a position with this team, it's yours.
It's yours.
But we got to move on to another quarterback.
Tom Brady will never put on another uniform besides the New England Patriots. I just don't see it happening. I see that Father Time will get with him, and I think you're right, Joe, that they'll say, hey, we're going to make that transition. And I think at that time, he'll really look at it. Tom's a realist, too. This guy, he's a realist. He'll look at his game. You watch, like you talk about, Joe, the ultimate competitor. That's who his other guys want them to compete. But this guy is the ultimate competitor, like you alluded to. And those are the things that he's going to sit down with the Belichick. He's going to sit down with his team and say, look, let's actually watch this game or these games when that time comes. And you go, I think this guy will look at himself and says, is it worth me going to squeeze out a year?
Right.
A two. He won't do it. I think the game and his pride won't let him do it.
His drop-off is going to happen so fast.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to know
what happened.
You look at all the quarterbacks you named after 40, it happens very, very quickly.
It does.
And again, this isn't a knock on the player or the person. It just happens.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a slow, gradual, 50 touchdowns, 48 touchdowns, 46, 40, 35. It's going to be boom. You saw it with Peyton Manning. Over 5,000 yards passing and over 50 touchdowns. What happened the next year? Came back with a solid season, right around 40 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, another good season. And then what happened?
Wheels fell off.
Last year, ferocious, some would say.
Yeah.
Ferocious would be the word that maybe three people would use. Three people in the country would use that word. But that's what's going to happen. When they fall off quick.
And you look at the numbers he's putting up right now, 73% completion percentage, 12 TDs, one interception.
That's my point. If he plays like this, and that's what drives him, he's going to have that year when he falls off. When it falls off, he'll look. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Because he's going to have a year of Joe, like you said, he struggles, maybe 25, and they're going to say, okay, is this the end for Tom? That's when Tom's going to self-evaluation. They'll bring him in, and if he struggles like the Brady, like he said, fall off, he's done. I think they owe that to him, and I think that Tom Brady will accept that.
The fall-off's going to happen.
Yeah.
And because he's so competitive, he's going to want to prove he's still got a little bit more, that he can make up for that because the mindset's going to be, all right, look, that was a bad year. But I'm not old. I'm not finished yet. I'm coming back. I'm going to give it one more great year, and then I'm riding off into the sunset. But he won't have it, and the Patriots won't have him because Belichick's great at one thing. One thing. He sees it coming before anybody else. He gets rid of players 1 year early rather than 1 year late. That's what they always say. Better to part ways with a player 1 year too soon than 1 year too late. Belichick's the master of that. He's going to see the fall off. Brady's not going to want to believe it's happening. He's going to want to prove everyone wrong. He's going to want to come back, and Bill's going to say, no, that's how it's going to end.
But see, I don't think so because he's already 39, and he's playing so well this year. Let's just assume he rides out the rest of this year at around the same level.
Safe assumption.
He comes back next year as a 40-year-old. If he has a bad year, you're 40. You don't need to gut it out one more year. You've already won at least four Super Bowls. At that point, you can just ride off in the sunset.
Golden State Warriors tonight in Boston. Second game of a four-game roadie. Golden State is a 7-point favorite. Game tips off at 5 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors warm-up begins at 3:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. When you're on a road trip like this, Lo, I know for you it would be just 1 week and then you're home. One week and then you're home. But you know plenty of basketball players. You know hockey players, baseball players. How's this work on the road? You have that win against Toronto. Then you're on the plane. You're moving to Boston. What's the key to making sure there aren't any physical, emotional letdowns, any sort of laziness that could creep in when you're on the road? How do you avoid the distractions that a city could offer?
I think one of the things you do is you make sure that the coach, their job is to keep balance. Yeah, you let the guys go have their dinner and their time or their downtime. Last night, you know, they played day before, so okay, boom, they make that travel, gave them a day to rest, get their legs underneath them, making sure that they're still watching film, and you make sure you keep these guys active. You don't want guys just to sit in their room and do nothing. You want to make sure that they're going to get their little sweat. The coach is going to say, hey, come in there, get your little sweat, and mentally, okay, we got film at this particular time. You want to keep guys engaged, not necessarily all the physical attributes, but you want to make sure you keep them engaged and in tune to what's going on.
Boston 6-5 on the season, not exactly the start they were hoping for after such a promising year last year. Brad Stevens, the head coach, one of the absolute best in the business. A lot of you remember him from the days at Butler when he somehow got that team to the national championship final 2 years in a row. Do you think for Boston there's a little chip on the shoulder coming into this game with the fact that they were in the KD sweepstakes, they were out in the Hamptons, they made their pitch. Some of the players on the team made it clear afterwards they thought they had him. They thought they had the best pitch of all. And then he ends up signing with Golden State. Do you think there's a little bit of a stick-to-itiveness that's coming tonight?
Just a little bit. I think every team is going to have a lot of that going up against Golden State, no matter what. But Boston, maybe an extra notch because they were in it. And players went down. And, Lo, you mentioned it. Tom Brady was a part of the entourage. We can say entourage, right? We can't say posse. He was part of the entourage that went down to see Kevin Durant in the Hamptons. So, yeah, they felt like they got a little bit burned, and they are going to be a little bit more motivated, I think.
That ever happened to you when you were maybe in San Diego or something? You tried to get a guy. He didn't sign with you.
Yeah, you bring guys in. You see free agents, and the guys bring them in. But then at the end of the day, you're like, that man did what he needed to do. And you I don't know if you laugh about it. Yeah, you're like, let's show him. But at the end of the day, as athletes, we want the best for our guys. We want our guys to be able to get the best financial opportunity for themselves. And that's how all athletes is. I think the biggest thing, Joe, really quick, is that no matter what, KD knows he's a marked man, and he doesn't care. And I think that's what's driving him.
You got to understand, he don't give a damn about no damn Drake night. Right? Much to the chagrin of the people of Toronto, he doesn't give a damn about no damn Drake night.
Damn about no Drake.
It's an interesting perspective, though, because as a fan, you always want to believe that the Steelers and the Ravens hate each other, that they all want to stick it to each other. And there's obviously a little bit more of a get-up in some of those games,
absolutely.
But you're all businessmen. You all recognize that. You're businessmen and you respect the decision. So you're right. I could see the Celtics saying, let's stick it to him a little bit, but it's not anything personal, right?
You don't see none of these guys at the end of the game, Joe, just take off to their perspective. They always, Ben, I don't care if it's Ben and Ray Lewis, I don't care. All those rivals, you always see them come to the middle field, hug, and get out of there.
Raiders, Texans, Monday night, Mexico City for all the world to see. Derek Carr, he's out for revenge in more ways than one in this game. We've got that for you next. Back in 2 minutes, Joe Lowe-Dibs, MGM Grand Las Vegas, Nevada, 95.7 The Game.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.